It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Fuller Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning. We always lament how there's nothing that happens breaking during the show, very rarely, and always happens like 10:03, 10:05. Now, this isn't solid news, but it's definitely news, and we are trending towards a potential hire for the New York Jets today, as Ian Rappaport just about an hour ago posted on X. A monumental day, he said. A monumental day. Top target Aaron Glenn visits the Jets, and the goal is to keep him from leaving the building. The deal isn't done, and there's still some particulars to discuss, but if all goes well, he could end today as the head coach of the New York Jets. If not, the Saints await. The way that he put that makes me sound like this is just a formality, and Aaron Glenn is going to be the head coach of the New York Jets. If you've been listening to the show, you know how we feel about that. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, good morning, Jay. I thought you were going to talk about that. There was there is a shoreline in North Korea that's where we can build condos and hotels. That's what I thought you were going to talk about.
I'm saving that for 8:45.
All right, good. Okay, yeah. So, looks like Aaron Glenn's going to be the coach of the Jets. And barring any last-minute snafus or anything else that may go on, maybe New Orleans makes a phone call. I don't know. They've been interviewing other people just in case Aaron Glenn wanted to come to the New York Jets. And here's the thing, you and I, you know, both were talking about the Jets hiring a former head coach, somebody that had the alpha male attitude and somebody that would come in and basically grab the organization by the throat and straighten it out. I don't know if Aaron Glenn has that. A former teammate, I'm happy for him. I've said probably 1,000 times during this hiring cycle that I had hoped that he got a job, that he deserved the job. His success in Detroit spoke for itself, but I didn't want him to have it here, not because I don't think he's worthy, a worthy candidate. It's just that I think that this job is a beast of a job. And maybe Woody feels that Aaron Glenn would connect better with his young star players on his roster, and that is really of paramount importance for the Jets and Woody Johnson in particular. Because remember, Woody is making this decision. This is his decision 100%. He could have all the different recommendations from everybody. But as I was reading this morning a little bit about Aaron and the influence that other people may have in regards to who Aaron is as a coach, would be the Parcells tree. So, you know, he played for Parcells as a Jet. He played for Parcells as a Cowboy. He's known Bill. Bill has probably given his blessing in regards to Aaron and his future as a head coach. And so is Mike Tannenbaum, would obviously have connections to Aaron Glenn through Bill Parcells and would know him. And by the way, when they all got here, Aaron Glenn was on the Jet team, so they all know who Aaron is. And that's one of the reasons why I think that they're pretty hot on the trail for him. But again, the thing that worries me, and I think it worries you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is just the inexperience as a head coach and everything that goes into it for this particular franchise at this particular time.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we've been saying. I agree. I think Aaron Glenn could be a really good coach somewhere else. I needed to see someone who's done it before, who's gone through it, who has dealt with an owner before, who has dealt with a fan base, who has stood up there every single day, answered the questions, the pressure, all of those things. I needed someone who went through that. So, you know, if we weren't going to talk to Mike McCarthy, Pete Carroll, or John Gruden, the guys that were on the list that filled that were Matt Nagy and Brian Flores, and I would have preferred either one of those guys other than Aaron Glenn. And it's tough to talk about this because I've admired Aaron Glenn for a long time. I mean, this guy was one of the best defensive backs in Jets history. And he did a great job there in Detroit. I remember watching the Hard Knocks in Detroit, and he was a character, and he was great, and you could tell he was on the way to being a head coach somewhere. But you can't come out of this mess with someone who's going to be learning on the job. And then, so it's to me, it's not as much about Aaron Glenn, the man. It's about Aaron Glenn's experience and lack thereof when it comes to being a head coach. So
That's really the only knock against him
that's
right
it.
Now.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, he's one of these assistant coaches, former players who has ascended through the ranks. And this is exactly what the NFL wants. I mean, this is the prime example of giving a guy a job who's gone through the ranks, who's been through it as a player, and, you know, has obviously had success as the defense coordinator when his team was totally healthy out there in Detroit. You know, the other thing, too, you and I were talking this morning before we got on air here, and you wonder where, like, in the pecking order of the Detroit Lions and their success over the last 3 years, where did Aaron Glenn fall in that pecking order?
Yeah, so if you look at the Detroit Lions, why they have a ton of success, to me, before you get to Aaron Glenn, and tell me if this is fair or not, you got Dan Campbell, who sets the tone. That team plays in the image of Dan Campbell. It's Detroit. He's a tough-nosed guy. He's there. He's for his players. We see the veins popping out of his neck. He was perfect for them at that time. Okay, that's there. This team did not become the team that they are, and when winning all the games, going to the NFC Championship game, getting the one seed this year, until Ben Johnson became the offensive coordinator. All right, so there's two guys there. You look at their drafts. They have drafted as well as anybody. I mean, maybe you'd say the Philadelphia Eagles have drafted a little bit better, but the Detroit Lions are right there in the last couple of years. So if you've got the perfect head coach, the offensive coordinator that everybody wanted who ends up going to the Bears yesterday, and one of the better front offices, then, you know, where is Aaron Glenn in all of that? And then, by the way, you know, using the injuries as an excuse to me just doesn't fly. Like, that's what a coach really shows that he's a great coach, is when you don't have all the great players and you still somehow find a way. So if he were the Saints head coach, I would like it a lot better. It's just, like I said before, it's tough because I don't want to knock this guy. I just cannot now celebrate after months of me saying, after Rob Saleh got hired, that the next guy's got to have experience. He's got to walk in there. He's got to know what he's doing. He's got to take this job by the balls. Then they hire a guy who's never been a head coach. I can't sit here and say that I like
him. Yeah, well, the Jets are going down that road again. The last time they actually hired, I believe, a head coach that had head coaching jobs was Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is falls in line with every other coach.
Oh, Adam Gase, actually.
How long will he last?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. So it is a huge job. I hope Aaron's ready for it, if in fact he does sign here and he understands what he's walking into. I think you always think of yourself as being the guy that's going to be the difference maker, especially when you are becoming the leader of a particular franchise in the NFL, and that you can be that alpha personality that is going to coach the entire roster, which he went to great lengths to make sure everybody understood that he's not just a defense coordinator, that he will be a coach of the entire team. Now, interestingly enough, Ben Johnson got hired by the Bears. The first thing you saw and you heard about Ben Johnson was that he was putting together an all-star staff.
Yeah, Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator.
Right, like he's already got his staff together. Like he's ready to rock and roll. He knows what's going on. And by the way, he could have picked any team he wanted, and he wanted Caleb Williams. And the interesting thing about that is that it's in the NFC North with the Lions. So he, you know, I think the Bears, what they did here is they made the Lions weaker by stealing their offensive coordinator and made their own team stronger by making him their head coach.
Yeah.
So that's a double win as far as I'm concerned with the Bears. And I think there should be genuine excitement about Ben Johnson going there because of the effect that it's going to have on the Lions. And it looks like the Lions are losing like three or four different coaches, maybe even more than that, depending on if these coordinators bring some of the coaches that were coaching under them with them to their respective new teams.
Also losing guys in the front office because there is a good chance that you might have Chris Spielman, who was a Lions executive, who was the brother of Rick Spielman, who was a part of the 33rd team that went out and was running this search, which is just hilarious.
I'll tell you, it's nepotism all over the NFL. You know that at every level, whether it be nepotism or just family members or whatever the hell you want to call it, however you want to describe it.
And the other one is Commander's assistant GM Lance Newmark, who knows Aaron Glenn and has worked within the Lions organization as well. So, you know, basically they went out and they got the head coach and then are pairing the GM with that head coach, which normally is not the way that I like it. I mean, if you're someone like Bill Belichick, then yeah, that could work that way. Someone in the front office, even though Bill would probably be the GM, or if Pete Carroll came in, you say, all right, Pete, who do you want to work with? But when it's a first-time head coach, hiring the coach and then finding the GM that works with him, to me, is ass backwards.
Man, I just hope through this interview process, because they interviewed half the NFL.
Yeah.
I just hope they asked the right questions. I hope they asked about, you know, you know, the way that Aaron sees his coaching staff, the way he sees game day, the way he sees how they're going to practice, the way they're going to meet. I mean, all of those things that the head coach, and look, he's been exposed to a number of really top quality coaches, including Dan Campbell. And Dan Campbell had to start off slow until they really started to hit it. And they started to hit it a little bit in free agency, a little bit in the draft. They made the trade for Jared Goff when they decided Matt Stafford could go out to L.A., and they got some extra picks back for that.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of good things that they did in Detroit and a lot of good decisions that Brad Holmes, their general manager, made in order to build that roster to get it where it is today. And it's unfortunate for Aaron that he lost so many players to injury this year. And, you know, I think the thing, unfortunately, that happened this past weekend was the 4th and 2 where they had 12 men on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, and it looked like it was a little bit helter-skelter on the sideline. That's the last thing I want to see for the Jets, you know, when they take the field, because it's a different beast. It's a different animal. And I'd also want to know with Aaron, like, you know, do you have somebody that you're going to bring with you or that you need to help you manage football games? Because every head coach needs to have that. Every head coach needs to have that guy in his ear talking situational football when the game is being played. It's not just standing on the sidelines screaming at everybody. It's, you know, getting everybody all on the same page, organized. And then when the real hard decisions come at the end of the first half, at the end of the game, when you use your timeouts, when you don't use your timeouts, who's your quarterback going to be? Can he handle it? I mean, there's a million variables that go into this. And that's why I don't necessarily know that the Jets is the best place, because we've seen it. It's not the best place for a inexperienced head coach.
Yeah. I mean, and this is, it's amazing all of the drastic things that Woody Johnson did this year because it didn't work out. Firing Rob Saleh so early in the season, firing Joe Douglas, you know, getting that deal done with Hassan Reddick, all of these things, and it didn't work out. And for him to just now repeat the same pattern and go and find a coordinator who was a first-time head coach and do this all over again, defensive, by the way. Now, I'm not saying that you can't succeed with a defensive head coach. You've seen others succeed, but a lot of those times, those guys like Sean McDermott have an all-world quarterback that are basically carrying them. But here you go again. So we talked about how...
Dan Quinn's a defense coach.
Right, but they drafted Jaden Daniels.
I know
they
that.
They got Cliff Kingsbury there.
But I will say that both of the defenses that we're talking about, you know, are as just an impactful, unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, fortunately for them, they have the quarterback that changes the whole dynamic of the team.
Right, but the Jets aren't going to have that guy. So their chances are, unless they fall into a miracle in the draft, they're not going to have that guy. Aaron Rodgers maybe comes back or they get a scrap heap guy. So now, once again, you're going to have a bad option at quarterback, a first-time defensive head coach, and who's your offensive coordinator going to be? If it's a first-time offensive coordinator, it's essentially the same thing you just did
4 years ago.
It's the same thing. I mean, and I know there's different people, and Rob Saleh is an Aaron Glenn, but I just, it didn't work. And it's just amazing to me that they don't see it the way that most people see it. It's like to get us out of this, I can't be pulling a guy off a team who's never done it before as a head coach.
All I can say is that you, one of your first round draft picks, one of the best players in recent memory for the New York Jets coming home, that there's a touch of I think excitement and positivity surrounding that. That I will say.
Well, I mean, that's part of the reason why he's going to get the job. Like, if he didn't play for the Jets, just based on his resume and where the Jets are, I don't think that he's really even an option for them. There's a lot of the fact that he was here. Yeah. He was a great player. But, I mean, that doesn't do anything for you when you're the head coach. And, like, it was a long time ago that he was here. There's been a lot of crap that has gone on since.
And he had a lot of success here. I mean, you know, initially, you know, he was drafted in 94 by Pete Carroll. Played for Richie Kotite for 3 years or 2 years, and then unfortunately was able to play for Parcells.
Yeah, right. which really was put him on the trajectory to be a head coach. But yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, I know that we could very easily be wrong about this, and I hope that I am wrong about this. But it feels to me like this is a just really, really bad idea. And to have these other guys that are, they're not GMs either. They've never been a GM before. Unless Chris Spielman, was he actually a GM or was he an assistant somewhere?
I feel like maybe the Dolphins. Was he, or was that his brother?
Well, I know Rick has had lots of jobs.
Just Google it.
He is Googling it right now. So just relax.
Yeah. It's just so funny. You know, my brother would be perfect for this job. No, he was never
perfect.
Yeah, special assistant to the owner and CEO. And
you know, maybe it is with maybe anybody with any experience didn't want this job. You ever think about
that?
Yeah,
of course. I mean, that's one of the things that I. But then again, I mean, you didn't talk to some of the guys that had experience. And by the way, you tell me Brian Flores wouldn't want this job? Brian Flores would take this job.
Of course he would, yes.
That's a guy with experience. You didn't talk to Mike McCarthy. You didn't talk to Pete Carroll. You didn't talk to John Gruden. You didn't. Well, did you talk to Matt Nagy?
Yes.
Okay, you talked to Matt Nagy, but, you know, I guess they...
And
they,
by the way, a lot of these interviews that they had done, you know, were all Zoom interviews. You know, they were all electronic stuff. Just to kind of get to know a guy, and then you bring him in, and you talk to him personally like they did with Flores, and now they're going to do with Aaron Glenn today.
Yeah, so Lance Newmark, the other guy, first season assistant general manager of the Commanders, 28 years of experience, 26 seasons with the Detroit Lions. So I guess 20,
how did those Lions
yeah,
do?
Right. I know, 23 really bad seasons with the Detroit Lions and three
somehow,
okay ones.
Somehow that guy kept his head down.
Wow. My goodness. Newmark previously oversaw the day-to-day operations of the Lions football information and football technology departments. Okay. California native, played wide receiver for 2 years at San Diego Mesa College before transferring to San Diego. So perfect. We got another guy, get as far away as humanly possible from Florham Park and New York City and all that stuff, and then suck him out of there and spit him out here and see how it goes. I mean, I know he was in Detroit for a while.
Yes.
So he knows losing, but... It's just
I just hope that if it does happen, that at least we can give a couple months of a honeymoon. Can we at least do that?
I can't. I'm sorry, I can't. I can't, because that to me that would be completely hypocritical and going against everything I've said. I can't. For months, the second that Rob Saleh was fired, I said, you got to have a guy with experience. You got to have someone come in here who's going to be the man. Buck stops here. You can't be a first-time head coach who's a coordinator. Can't do that. Can't do it again. Can't do it again. Then they're going to do it, and I'm going to give him a honeymoon period? No. I think they screwed up. It's not about Aaron Glenn. It's not about him as a man. And if he were hired as a Saints head coach, I'd be like, all right, perfect. Good. Knows that organization.
Jacksonville.
I would say good. It's just this particular job with the Jets.
It's a beast.
At this time in their history, can't happen. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Maybe there's always a chance that it could surprise all of us.
Right. I'm not saying that it's a lock that it's going to be a failure. I just, as I sit here right now, I just don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think it's going to be a success, unfortunately. And by the way, how could you just, you'd have to have blind faith to believe that this is going to work out. You just have to.
You know, maybe there's something about the way that he connected with Woody on their initial interview, and when they get him in person, they're going to feel even stronger about that, you know, Woody's selecting the right guy, because it, at the end of the day, as I heard Mike Tannenbaum say numerous times, there's 32 owners. They're the ones that make all the decisions, supposedly.
Yeah. Well, if you trust Woody Johnson, then I guess you'll like this hire.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network opened up with the Ian Rappaport post on X, where the Jets are apparently going to try to not let Aaron Glenn leave the building today and potentially announce him as the next head coach a little bit later today. But we did have a national championship game, Ohio State. Congratulations to them. And, of course, the Knicks with a very nice win over the Hawks yesterday. And CeeLo's got all of that and more. What's up, Chris?
Hi, good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Yeah, I wanted to quickly just add something, or maybe not add something, but play a little audio to go with the Aaron Glenn story.
Sure.
We covered the Ian Rappaport tweet from this morning. You'll have him in for a second interview. Also, former Lions executive, current Commanders assistant GM Lance Newmark getting his second interview today. So that seems to be the tandem. Now, Boomer mentioned Glenn and the ties to Bill Parcells, both as a player and as a coach. So I saw this clip floating around. Not sure which podcast or show. I think Ryan Clark's on it, maybe Fred Taylor as well. And they asked Glenn to tell the story of Parcells coming to the Jets in 1997 with Glenn already there. And he's hearing trade rumors because Parcells preferred bigger corners, whereas Glenn was only about 5'9", 190 pounds or so. So he kind of illustrates and outlines here the interaction when he went to talk to Parcells.
So I keep hearing all these stories, but he wasn't telling me this. You know, so I know my mentality and who I am, so I'm going to try him. So I'm going to go up there and ask him, man, if you're going to trade me, then trade me. You know, so he told me to shut that door, and I did. He said, have a seat. I sat and he said, listen, everybody got a price on their head, right? My own wife got a price on her head. Hmm. If somebody was to offer me a good deal, then she going to be gone. So if somebody offered me a good deal for you, you going to be gone. I have to respect it.
Right.
I said, yes, sir, and walked on. Yeah, that made sense to me.
So, I mean, you get a feel for the guy a little bit. Yeah. And I know it doesn't mean anything as far as being a head coach, but I've heard him speak enough now that there definitely seems to be a presence about him.
Would you trade your wife for the right deal, CeeLo?
Of course not.
Full-time job here?
Oh, stop it. Come on. Not in a heartbeat, G.
Oh, okay. All right.
Never. No. Not worth that.
All right, very good. Yeah, so you're saying he's going to be a good head coach because he tells a story?
No.
All right.
I like not just from the press conferences, but just seeing some of the, you know, behind the scenes stuff, mic'd up stuff. Like, forget the defense and the play calling and all that.
His players.
The presence.
You know who would be a great head coach? Nate Bargatze. I think that he would be an awesome
Nate Bargatze, yes.
He's tells an unbelievable story.
Not just being a storyteller. I'm just watching him interact with people.
How about Shane Gillis? He's a pretty good storyteller.
He would be awesome.
Too, right?
He interacts with people very well.
Very well, yes. Yeah,
yeah, I'll say it to you this way. I said it to Al this morning because he was making the same point about Aaron Glenn and this job sucks. And, you know, Boomer, hey, he's a great guy. I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a good coach, so don't come here. How do we ever expect to turn things around if all we're telling everybody out there is, don't come here, this place sucks, it's the worst? Where's the breaking point?
If you're a first-time head coach and you don't have experience and you come here, you could be in the blender. This is exactly what we've been saying. The only person I think who could turn it around is someone like Bill Parcells again. That would be it. So that guy, I want to come here. But if you're a first-time head coach who's never done it before, coming here is a career ruiner.
But if the guy who has been a head coach, and this is a second opportunity, third opportunity, and hey, this is it, this is my shot, why are you coming here then, if it's as bad as you say it is?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is a big problem.
Like, you've got to have
that is a big problem.
Serious cojones. Well, like,
somebody may not want Brian Flores because of the issues that maybe he had in Miami. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, has he... Just because he didn't get along with Tua and, you know, didn't coddle him, as, you know, as Gio would like to say, you know, he needs a coddle coach. And he's got a coddle coach. Just like Sam Darnold needed a coddle coach. He's got a coddle coach. That's not what the Jets don't need, a coddle coach.
No, and this is the whole premise, and I know he's not going to get a look, but the whole premise behind me bringing up John Gruden is because I said no one else is going to want the job. And maybe you can get a guy who's absolutely desperate to get back in,
right,
who's got all the qualities you want.
And if he turned it around here... It would be monumental.
Yes. So does that answer your question?
It has to be a very unique situation, and I would say John Gruden might be the one, maybe two names that would check that box.
Well, I think Flores, too.
Yeah.
At least
he's still working in the league.
Yeah, but right.
About Flores, he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's from here.
I mean, and if you look at Matt Nagy's resume... I mean, it's really not that bad.
I would have had no issue with Matt.
Right.
Nagy.
So I mean, like those. So those are guys right there that are more realistic, apparently, than Gruden. And I also would have talked to Mike McCarthy. I mean, I just that guy, and maybe it doesn't work out for 10 years, but it's from a stability factor, and this is how we do it to win games in the NFL. The fact that they don't even talk to him, it's insane.
I will say this because of all the one score games that they. The Jets lost, that goes to tell you and goes to show you just how important that fourth quarter is and the last 5 minutes of every game. I'm telling you, from, you know, using timeouts to understanding, you know, how to run a game at that point. I hope that, you know, Aaron's proficient in that. I don't know if he is or isn't, but if he's not, then I hope he has people around him that will get him through that part of the game. Because I'm just telling you, it is the most, it's the most important part of the actual game itself, is to make sure. And, you know, when he got to the Jets, Pete Carroll was our coach. And Pete Carroll used to just drill in our heads in practice, if he remembers, so much about situational football. At the end of every practice was a totally different situation that we had to go through the mental gymnastics with. And it's one of the reasons why Pete went on to become such a successful head coach, is because that's where he, that's where his bread was buttered, so to speak. End of game, winning the game at the end, understanding timeouts. That is a big part of what a head coach has to do on a Sunday. And I know this is going to be Aaron's first foray into this, and that's the thing that I worry about.
Nut cutting time, as you like to say.
Yeah, where, well, the rubber meets the road, where the metal meets the meat.
There you go. Oh, the metal and the meat. All right, meantime, right, the other hotshot Lions coordinator, Ben Johnson, ends up in Chicago with Caleb Williams. After all, he'll be the next head coach of the Bears, and thus remaining in the NFC North. And then some stuff from Adam Schefter here of ESPN. He's already working on his staff. Sounds like Dennis Allen could be the leading coordinator, leading candidate to be the defensive coordinator. And they're apparently also heavily pursuing Saints interim coach Darren Rizzi to be their special teams coordinator. So those are some names that you're talking about with Ben Johnson.
So basically, they're taking all the coaches from the Saints who had a crappy year.
Yeah.
Well, to go back to being coordinators, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you had to like a little bit of what Darren Rizzi did as the interim, no?
I give him credit for it. Yeah, he got a little, they got a bump out of him. There's no question
energy,
about it.
Some energy, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They all lose right, like 34-0 to Green Bay.
Oh, that's one
yeah,
game.
Towards the end there.
Oh, that's
when
one
he game. First started, when he first, I think they won two in a row. Didn't they win two in a row when they
right,
first started?
Sounds okay, great. So,
local Jersey guy.
Yeah, man. Love that.
Yeah. Let's go to Atlanta now. Last night's national title game. So Notre Dame takes the opening possession, 18 plays, 75 yards into the end zone. But Ohio State came right back with a 75-yard touchdown drive of their own. That Jeremiah Smith doing it again, taking it in from 8 yards out on a cool play design from Chip Kelly. Buckeyes end up with a 31-7 lead in the second half. But the Fighting Irish did make a game out of it, drawing within 8 with about 4 minutes to go. But another big play from the freshman Smith sealed the deal.
Out of the gun, Howard, a Notre Dame blitz, a deep throw, near side, Jeremiah Smith has it inside the 30 and taken down by Christian Gray at the 9-yard line.
John McDonough on ESPN Radio set up a short field goal to extend the lead and put it out of reach. Ohio State 34, Notre Dame 23, as Smith ended up with 5 catches for 88 yards and the score. Will Howard and Riley Leonard, the respective quarterbacks, both threw for over 230 yards, 2 scores apiece, but it was Ryan Day's Buckeyes winning the night not that long after that loss to Michigan and some questions about Day's job status moving forward.
The story gets to get told now, and it's a great story about a bunch of guys who have just overcome some really tough situations. And there's a point where there's a lot of people that counted us out, and we just kept swinging and kept fighting. It's the reason why you get into coaching.
You saw the video, I'm sure, of them on the golf cart after the game.
Yes.
And the fouls and the gal
almost crashed it.
Crashing.
I just remember, what was the big story, Eddie, at the beginning of the college football season about Ohio State?
The payroll.
That's exactly right. And the payroll came through.
Payroll like as over players 20, or coaches?
Over $20 million was spent on players for Ohio State.
NIL action?
Yeah. And it was a big story. And they that's why losing to Michigan was such a big deal after Michigan had won the national championship the year before. And you figured this year, without Harbaugh and with all those players that were lost, that this was going to be the year that Ohio State was going to be Michigan. And they didn't do it. And then, you know, obviously I was happy for Ryan Day, because sometimes college football fans can be completely unrealistic. And, you know, he came back and had the best team. There's no question about it. Those wide receivers are, they're going to be, I think, 3 number 1 draft picks on that team.
Without a doubt. Yep.
And Jeremiah Smith being the best one.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a guy that young be that intimidating, that fast, that big. I've never seen anything like it, quite honestly.
2 years from now, top 5 pick, if not the first overall pick, depending on what the team picking needs. But I would not pass on him. That'd be like the Giants passing on Malik Nabers. You can't pass on this kid.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about all my friends that are Notre Dame fans with Irish heritage that have no connection to the university this morning that are really, really wallowing, you know, and just drinking their own tears. You know, there's so many guys like that that I know.
You've had a nice couple of days between the Lions and what you just said there.
No, I don't actually don't dislike Notre Dame. I just, well, I always bust the chops
your
of
friends. Yeah,
yeah, friends of mine. I'm like, just because your last name's Flaherty doesn't mean you have to be a Notre Dame fan, man. You have no connection.
It's kind of
went to SUNY Oneonta.
It's kind of like the Under Armour commercial with Shane Gillis.
I've seen that one.
You didn't see it? He's in the church and he's praying.
Oh,
for Shane.
I did see that. Yeah, yes. He's looking up and the whole thing with the candles in front of
him. I'm not going to bet. I will bet me a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah, I half not bet.
Shh. Sure.
All right, let's go to the Garden. Little MLK Day matinee between the Knicks and the Hawks.
Back door's open. Oh, Brunson bangs it home. Miscommunication by Atlanta. Heads up play as Towns gets his seventh assist.
Yeah, Daniel's the culprit that time.
There you go, Mike Breen, Clyde Frazier.
Yeah.
We outside, or inside in this case, a 119-110 Knicks victory over the Hawks. You had Breen and Clyde Frazier there with the call on MSG. Good day for Jalen Brunson as he had, he finished with, where do I have it here in my notes? It just went away. Why is it not showing? Excuse me. 34 points is what I was looking for.
12 of 18 shooting.
Yeah, he had a good
deal. Hey, they actually hit their shot, so they won the game.
And it wasn't a big scoring game for Towns.
What is what?
Make or miss league.
Make or miss league. That's exactly what it is, man.
That's right.
Yeah. Talk about make or miss league. Did you see what happened to the Clippers against the Celtics last night?
Or, the Warriors.
The Warriors.
They lost by like 40, right?
Got crushed on their home court.
Yeah. You don't make those shots, gets ugly in the NBA.
You know why? Make or miss league.
Make or miss league. Well, it wasn't a great make day for Karl Anthony Towns as he was 5 of 18, but you mentioned Brunson, 12 of 18, Bridges, 12 of 17 as the Knicks get the victory there. And for Brunson afterwards, they're asked about the Trae Young factor. You know, last time it was rolling the dice, he certainly had his fun on the MSG court. So, of course, the question, any extra motivation for this one against Atlanta?
To be honest, whenever we play in front of this crowd, I mean, there's no extra motivation. This is the best place to play, regardless of what happens.
Sounds like the Lou Gehrig
speech. We don't need extra motivation.
I'm so glad you said that. I was going to ask if it reminded you of that at all with a little delayed echo there.
I will say like this. They've been going through a win-loss kind of situation lately.
Well, Towns has been in and out of the lineup, you know? Yeah,
well, it's maintenance days. Come on now.
Oh, but he's still been in and out of the lineup.
Yeah. So
when he's not out
this
there.
This was an important one to win because of it. It was Atlanta.
Yes.
And because of what happened the last time they were in there. All I know is that the Patrick Ewing teams would have smashed Trae Young. That's all I know, as opposed to saying, it's no big deal. Come on. Yeah, it is a big deal. You're not rolling dice on our logo.
Now you sound like Al this morning, watching back the 1980s divisional playoff games on the NFL app.
Loved it. Loved it, Al. I actually went back and watched a little bit of that stuff. That's great stuff.
Yeah, awesome, yeah.
Yeah. You actually see guys
getting hit.
Some wicked hits.
Right.
I said on defense, once a runner with the ball was down, one additional man was allowed to dive on top.
Yes, exactly.
One additional man.
Yes.
Love that. Islanders beat Columbus last night, 3-1 at UBS Arena. Rutgers did take an 80-72 loss at Penn State. We've got Rangers Ottawa tonight as the Blue Shirts try to get back into the wild card race here. Interesting week. Ottawa, you got the Flyers coming in as well, so we'll see how they fare week on home ice.
These are all guys around, you know, all these teams are all bunched together. So
yes.
Now you got to, you know, they're having a good January.
Yes.
Which they needed to have. Bad loss in Montreal. I wish Keandre Miller would just get more involved. Get more involved. Get a little bit more physical, if you will.
Yeah, we've been waiting on that.
What the hell are you talking
around
about?
And watch. I'm telling you what I'm talking about.
We've been waiting on that for a long time, so I wouldn't hold your breath. We do have Knicks Nets tonight
such
as well.
A great
all right.
So man, he's got a long stick. He's so good.
He's got a long stick.
Long stick.
I like a long stick. Knicks can go over there to Barclays Center and, you know, have a little bit of a parade tonight with the Nets.
Very good.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Aaron Glenn visiting the Jets in person today, and Ian Rappaport says the plan is to not let him out of the building and to announce him as the next head coach of the Jets. If he leaves the building, then there's a really good chance he becomes the Saints head coach. We're going to keep an eye on that all day here on WFAN. Do you like the Aaron Glenn potential hire? 888-808-1019. The other big news yesterday was Ben Johnson to the Bears. Now, at first, we were talking about how that made a ton of sense because Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, got the quarterback there. Guy is young. You can really mold him. But then the more we talked about it, it was, man, you know, Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell go back a long way. And for him to leave the Lions and then go coach against him in the NFC North
twice a year is probably maybe something he doesn't want to do. Then Tom Brady and coveting Ben Johnson seemed like he was going to go to the Raiders. So hearing that he was named the Bears head coach yesterday was surprising to me. I thought that he was going to go to the Vegas Raiders, but it's really all about that position, and he wanted his shot with Caleb Williams as a starting quarterback.
100%. And it seemed like, I guess, Ryan Poles, their GM out there, you know, had him pegged from the get-go. That this is their first choice. This is who they wanted, no matter who they were interviewing or requesting to interview, and they had to make sure they had a backup plan. But they really, really wanted him. And most of the people that you talk about or talk to in the NFL about Caleb Williams, they'll tell you that some of the things that he did this year were amazing on the football field. You know, it wasn't all that consistent. They were a little bit, you know, lost on offense at times, and they had to change offense coordinators. He's already had, you know, two offense coordinators in 1 year. So now they're going to have a system that hopefully is going to get the most out of him. And as long as he's willing to learn, put the time and effort into it, get into that playbook, this should be a match made in heaven. It really should be. And hopefully the Bears, and, you know, by hiring Ben Johnson, they just made the Lions worse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and if Aaron Glenn gets a job, too, that's two assistants off of that Dan Campbell staff, one of them going to Chicago. I mean, there's no doubt about it that this, and this is why it was so important for the Lions to get it done this year. You had that one seed. I mean, everything was going through you, and then the Commanders come in there and smack you around, and that's the end of it. It ends just like that. I mean, you know, even if they had just gotten to the Super Bowl, because they never had been to a Super Bowl before, that would have been a massive win for that organization, and to be there and the full 2 weeks and everything else and celebrating the Lions. And if they had lost to the Chiefs or whatever, I mean, it would have sucked for them, of course, but to never have gone to a Super Bowl, to do that, and they don't even win a playoff game this year. So it's, and now they're going to face major challenges. And I'm sure that Jared Goff, and he knew it, he was going to leave this year, Ben Johnson, so it's not like this was some sort of shock, but I'm sure Jared Goff is just like, damn, I wonder how it's going to go now. Played the best football of my career with this guy. You know, can I continue to do that without him? So, like, all right, you can answer this question a hell of a lot better than I can. Like, who was your favorite offensive coordinator?
Well, Bruce Coslett under Sam Weish, and then when I went back to Cincinnati, it was Kenny Anderson under Bruce Coslett.
Could you play your best? Could you be the best version of yourself with someone other than Bruce Coslett?
I doubt it. And when Bruce left Cincinnati, it really hindered me and hindered us, amongst other things that happened in Cincinnati. But yeah, I mean, that I had such a close relationship with him, and it was bad cop, good cop. You know, Sam was the good cop to me, as he was my head coach and also the quarterback coach, and Bruce was the offense coordinator, and he was the hard ass.
Yeah.
Who, if I made a bad play, I'd have to go over, pick up the phone, and he'd scream at me. After the game, he'd come and talk to me. In practice, he talked to me. I'd go in on Monday nights, get the game plan that they were working on for Wednesday, and then I'd go back in Tuesday, watch tape with him. He was the hard ass that I needed in my career. Anyway, I know it didn't work out for him as the head coach here because he was a hard ass with the media. And he didn't communicate that well with the media. But for me personally, as a player, he was got the most out of me, especially when I was younger.
Yeah, and I also think that Jared Goff, I mean, Jared Goff isn't Lamar Jackson. He's not Jaden Daniels. He's not Josh Allen. Like, he's not this giant ball of talent that is going to dominate a football game.
What's going to happen to him is what happened to me. They're going to think that he knows the offense, and he does. He knows the offense. He's in lockstep with Ben Johnson. If you think that, you know, Jared Goff's going to be out there on the field calling his own plays, you are putting a burden on him that he does not need. It's not going to help him. They need to have somebody on that sideline, and maybe it's their quarterback coach, maybe it's somebody else.
Yeah, Scotty Montgomery, right, I think is probably the guy.
Somebody that he really trusts, that knows how to call plays, send in the right formations, personnel group, so you get the right formations. I mean, it's just not easy losing the guy that you've had in your back pocket that you've had such a great relationship with.
Yeah, so this is going to really hurt. That loss, of course, at the Commanders is a big deal, but losing these coordinators going forward is an even bigger deal.
Hey, I'll tell you, the Lions may also lose their offensive line coach. to become the offensive coordinator out in Seattle. And if you listen to Frank Ragnow, the center of the Lions, like he's saying, you know, I'll drop all sorts of things to keep him here. All the bad things about him.
Yeah.
I'll leak all the negative things about him because I don't want to.
Well, make
him
the offensive coordinator then.
Maybe they will. I don't know.
To keep him.
I don't want my offensive line coach to be an offensive coordinator. They always want to effing run the ball. Yeah. I mean, which is fine. That's what they do. And it's a little bit easier for them to, you know, want to have to run it. And then instead of having to deal with all the twisting and stunning of very talented defensive lines.